It's no secret the housing market has heated up in the past few years with rents rising and bidding wars between cash buyers, sometimes freezing out would-be home hunters. Even before that, buying or renting a house was often prohibitively challenging for moderate-income households. But there's a new initiative that could help some low-income families stay in affordable rental housing and even attain home ownership. Last month, the Port, an economic development agency in Hamilton County, announced it's in the process of purchasing 194 single-family homes from an out-of-town investment group. Cincinnati Edition assistant producer Nick Swartzel talked with representatives from the Port and one of their nonprofit partners in this pre-recorded interview.
Joining me now are President and CEO of the Port, Laura Brunner. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
The Port Executive Vice President, Philip Denning. Hi, Phil.
Hi there.
And Price Hill Will Executive Director, Rachel Hastings. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
So I want to start off with you, Laura and Philip. A lot of our listeners are probably familiar with the Port, but can you tell us just a little bit about what the organization is and what it does?
Yeah, it should be an easy question, but it's not. We are an economic development organization focused on real estate, on bringing blighted real estate back to productive use. And we do that both in neighborhoods and in manufacturing sites. And we also do public finance to support tough real estate projects that need to have gaps filled in the financing.
Great. And so you've recently announced this new, and I think pretty novel initiative. And you're in the process of purchasing these 194 single-family homes from Raineth Housing, which is based in Los Angeles. Tell me more about this initiative, how it came about, and what are these houses? How did you end up in the process of buying them?
Sure. So it started with us paying attention over the last 6 or 7 months to the number of institutionally owned single-family houses we have in Hamilton County. We had one of our co-ops do a big research project to discover over 4,000 homes owned by just 5 different investors. So we were aware of this and really kind of scratching our heads, what can we do about it? When we got a call from Jenna Murphy at the local real estate firm Colliers, who is the receiver for this portfolio of homes, has been since early last year, and said that they were getting ready to put them out to bid for sale back into the private market for the benefit of the creditors of this foreclosure, and wanted to know if we would be interested in buying them, to which my immediate answer was yes. And then, of course, we had to go figure out how in the world we could possibly do that. But the idea from the very beginning of taking single-family homes in our critical neighborhoods that are now owned by an out-of-town institutional investor and bringing them back to single-family home ownership was irresistible to us.
Yeah. Can you give me a sense of what these houses are like? You know, where are they located? What kind of sizes are we talking about? And what kind of condition are they in currently?
Sure, I can answer that a little bit, Nick. They're pretty diverse, to be frank. We have everything from 2-bed, 1-baths to 5-bed, 3-baths. They are really centered in the center of Hamilton County, the broad swath that moves northward through the Price Hills and North College Hill, all the way up to the northern parts of Hamilton County. And they're in reasonably good shape. You know, they've been rental housing for some time, and some of them need some love. And that's one of our goals, is to be a really good property caretaker of these properties while they're rental homes. And I think that's one of the institutional investor impacts that is had on some of these neighborhoods is, they're not really focused, these institutional investors, on good property maintenance, on keeping up with the long-term needs of the properties, whether it's roofs or HVAC units. They have a high number of code complaints and code violations. And so that's one of the benefits here of local ownership, whether it's the Port or whether it's the longtime homeowners that we hope to coach and train, is that control and maintenance of those properties will be better and serve those neighborhoods in which they're located.
Absolutely. And so I want to talk a little bit about how that's going to work going forward. So will the port manage the properties, or will it kind of contract that responsibility out? How will that part work?
So one of the good things is that Kyers is willing to continue its property management of the portfolio as long as we need them. So we will start off with a very seamless operation to the renters, which I think is important for them too, to have stability, because Colliers has brought a lot of stability to this portfolio over the last year. And then we will work to bring all of the different aspects of ownership and property management into our business here. We've got a lot of the different pieces of experience, and we'll start to do them internally while we then turn to our nonprofit partners to start the conversations with the renters to move them toward ownership in the long term.
Yeah, great. You mentioned your nonprofit partners, and I was about to turn it over to Rachel, who's with Price Hill Will, to talk a little bit about the situation in that neighborhood. Some of these houses are in Price Hill. Price Hill Will does a lot of stuff in the community. One of the things is trying to increase homeownership opportunities. So Rachel, talk to me about what the situation has been like in the neighborhood in terms of housing and homeownership specifically.
Well, I think this is an amazing opportunity to really change the tide of where homeownership is going in the neighborhoods. You know, we have worked really hard over the past, 17 years to renovate houses, to bring them online so that they are available for homeowners. And in the past 17 years, we have renovated about 100 houses and sold them to homeowners. Whereas in the Serena portfolio, there are 83 properties there in Price Hill. So if together Price Hill Will and the Port and all these other partners can help these properties also become opportunities for homeownership, that will, double the impact that we've been having over these last several years. I can tell you from talking to folks that live in these Raineth properties right now, and neighbors who live nearby, as Phil and Laura said, the condition is not great. Our neighbors are suffering from living in substandard conditions, and they deserve better.
So, Rachel, tell me a little bit about for the properties in Price Hill, and maybe Laura and Philip, you can chime in on this too. What kind of economic prospects do the folks living in these properties have? Like, where are they at in the income bracket? If you can generalize, and sort of what does it mean to be able to keep these houses in an affordable rental portfolio and maybe turn them over into homeownership eventually?
I mean, from the tenants that I know, and again, from talking to folks in the neighborhoods, I mean, these are folks that are kind of, lower moderate income, folks that are working, that have jobs, don't have a ton of money coming in. They're not super affluent, but they might be able to be a homeowner. They're probably paying more money to rent these properties than they could if they had an actual mortgage. So therefore, I think it's up to, those of us around the table who care about these families to help them, work on credit repair or approach a bank to get a mortgage or find other, lenders who will help them become homeowners. Because, again, for our homesteading program, which we have 15 families and they're all very low income, they're below 65% of area median income. All but one of those families pays less to become a homeowner than they were in rent. So, I think folks have the capacity. We just haven't provided them the opportunity.
Sure.
I think that's one of the really critical items to emphasize here is it can actually cost less money to make a mortgage payment than a rental payment. So as we look to improve wealth creation opportunities, homeownership is at the top of the list. And like Rachel said, there needs to be a path to get people there. Although in some cases, we know that people have already been through homeownership training and been qualified for mortgages and yet can't find a home in this kind of price range. So they're renting perhaps in this very same portfolio.
Sure. And I wonder if all of you can talk about the kind of barriers that exist for somebody who, maybe the math does work out that if they could get a mortgage, they could pay less than they're paying in rent. But for whatever reason, it's challenging. What are some of those challenges that keep a moderate income person from homeownership?
I'll speak first to that, Nick, but I think Rachel will have a lot to say as well. One of the really important paths, I think, structures that we've put in place for the acquisition of these properties is to be supported by a pretty broad network of service providers and advocates as we walk through the process of purchasing these houses. These are 194 different houses, and there are 194 different families and people with different situations. And so patience is going to be absolutely paramount on the part of the port and through our advocate and service provider support network, so we can understand who each of these folks is, what their troubles is, and really get to the bottom of how the port can help. These are not going to be a requirement that anybody buys a house, of course. This is going to be something at the option of the current tenant or renter. And so part of understanding whether people can or want to is going to be leveraging resources like Price Hill Will and Wynn and other entities. So Rachel, we're going to fill that time.
I think for so many people, if nobody in your family has bought a house before, or you don't have friends that have bought a house before, it just seems like an overwhelming, scary task. And folks literally don't know where to start. Or maybe they saw a TV commercial late at night for one of the, Quicken Loans or something, and thought they called the number and didn't get approved right away. And just to sort of backed away, it seems very scary. So that's one of the things that I think is really exciting about this opportunity, is that we have lots of nonprofit partners around the table with the port. And, together, we all have different skill sets to help these families, along their path. Again, not everybody wants to become a homeowner, but I do think there are a lot of folks who would love to become a homeowner if they knew how to do it and they had somebody holding their hands along the way. The other thing I wanted to touch on, which I think is incredibly true and useful information, is that it's hard to find homes, that are listed for under $100,000 in Cincinnati right now. And it's just as hard to find a mortgage. Banks, it seems crazy, but banks don't want to give you mortgages for, $60,000, $70,000. It's not worth it to them. And so if you are a lower income homeowner and or a home buyer potentially, and you're trying to find a house, it's hard to find the inventory, and it's just, almost impossible to find a mortgage. So I think, again, we'll have opportunities to find lenders who can have perhaps a special product or something like that to assist in helping folks become buyers.
Absolutely. So as a first-time potential home buyer myself, I've run into some of these challenges as well. And I wonder, is the current real estate market making it a lot harder? And what role do these out-of-town large investors play in the sort of lack of housing inventory that we're seeing right now? I read a stat that as many as 15% of single family homes in Hamilton County in the second half of 2021 were bought by investors that can bring cash to the table. So is that making it a lot harder for folks to be able to attain homeownership?
Yes. I mean, think about it, over 4,000 homes owned by just five of these investors. And you're exactly right. I think that the lure of paying cash, some people are more willing to jump on cash next week than take a step back to determine whether they're getting ripped off and receiving too little. So taking that many lower income properties off the market is certainly created more scarcity. Yeah. And then that probably, and to Rachel's point, makes it even less attractive for the lenders and maybe even the realtors to work in that space. But I think with this quantity, we're going to have enough business to be able to approach banks and ask them to join this team because there's enough business for them to do that. So I think we can bring this out into the light a little bit more. Sure. As well.
So with portfolios like this Raineth portfolio, this didn't happen overnight. This is something that came about, as I understand it, from the housing crash in 2007, 2008. And I spoke with you, Rachel, about this in our chat before the interview, but I think Laura and Philip, you probably have some something to say about this as well. Can you tell me about the roots of this sort of the institutional ownership that's going on in some of our neighborhoods and how that's kind of playing out now?
Certainly. Happy to talk about that, because you're right. It did start in 2007, 2008, but it was very slow and kind of quiet. And really in 2017, 2018, 2019 is when this kind of purchasing activity really ramped up. And then, of course, when the pandemic hit and capital was searching for return, it ramped up even further then. And so, if you think about real estate investment, 20 years ago, the way real estate worked, real estate investors, they looked for B-class strip centers or, you know, A-class industrial property, and they assembled it across the country to have a kind of geographically diversified investment package. And when the financial crisis hit in 2008, the single family idea started to creep into the institutional investor world, with the idea of maximizing profit and minimizing cost, which is the same approach they were taking with the other kinds of real estate. But that just has a different meaning and a different impact on a small residential neighborhood. And so the pandemic hit and the movement into this single family asset class for institutional investors really ramped up. And all of a sudden the impact on these neighborhoods ramped up as well. So that's kind of what we understand to be the genesis of the work.
Yes, Ohio, I think, was particularly targeted because we do have lower home values, and yet we have high rents. And we have, and especially here in Southwest Ohio, we've had growth, we've had stability. We don't have this big out-migration of population. We've had a lot of properties demolished that were in such bad shape. So there's continued to be a scarcity of options, you know, across the price ranges. And man, you know, it's seductive for these out-of-town investors to come in and swoop up these homes. And it's a, you know, if you look at it from a strictly capitalist standpoint, you know, it makes sense. There is a lot of money to be made, but unfortunately there's a very significant societal impact also.
Well, and Laura, I want to build on that because, you know, to your question, Nick, the folks that were competing to purchase this particular portfolio of properties, the 194 Raineth homes, were not unique. They were exactly the same kinds of investors. And because the average rent for each of these properties is around $750 or $780, their ability, given the increased demand for rental property during COVID, their ability to immediately evict all of these renters and increase rents, and therefore their profitability very quickly, it was, you know, that was exactly what was going to be happening with the other interested purchasers of these properties. And so that is all the more reason why working with the neighborhoods, working with our service providers and advocates, it was a moral imperative really to take the opportunity and prevent those evictions and instead find some pathways towards home ownership.
Yeah, thanks for that. That was actually going to be my next question, is that, you know, what was going to happen to these properties if the port didn't step in? So I think that's a really important thing to highlight. So can you talk to me more about the nuts and bolts of the initiative? Like, how much is this going to cost to purchase and then probably rehab some of these homes? And then, what happens after that?
So our purchase price for the portfolio is $14.5 million. There were other investors that bid that much as well. So as Philip said, there was a high demand for this portfolio. We anticipate that the homes will need between $8,000 and $40,000 each in investment before we sell them. We want to make sure that as we sell them to homeowners that they're in good shape. And some of that investment will be funded from the rentals that we collect during our ownership. And others will be funded through homes that we sell, and the proceeds from that sale can help us fix up others. And then another part of it, we are going to borrow slightly more than what we're paying for the portfolio, so we've got a cushion there as well. So we'll spend 2022 doing a really good analysis of the condition of each one of the homes and prioritizing them for their capital investment. The mechanics of this, we're issuing bonds,
okay.
largely tax exempt bonds. That's one of the things that as a public entity we can do. So that's a benefit that keeps our borrowing costs lower. And everything we do here means we want to be able to keep the rents as low as possible while people are renting and have the sale prices as low as possible when we sell. And so us being able to run this efficiently will help with that.
Sure, sure. And so you're not doing this by yourself. Price Hill Will is involved. You have some other partners too. Can you talk to me about who those other partners are and like how they're involved? Like how does this all mesh together?
Absolutely. Happy to talk about them. And I probably won't even be able to name them all. Part of the answer is that we don't have a lot of answers quite yet, right? This opportunity really only materialized a month and a half or so ago. And so that speaks to one of the reasons that it's so important to have an entity like the port be able to move quickly and jump on an opportunity. But the folks that we currently have around the table include Legal Aid, Housing Opportunities Made Equal, or HOME, the Home Ownership Center, Working in Neighborhoods, Talbert House, obviously Price Hill Will here with Rachel on the phone, Sisters of Charity, LISC, CMHA, Mark. I mean, really, we have a whole network here of group of folks that is going to help tackle
Community Action Agency.
Community Action Agency, of course. Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's quite a network.
Yeah, yeah. And so what happens next? Like, have you started talking to the people who are renting these houses? How do they become involved in like working toward home ownership through this initiative? How does that rollout look?
Yeah, it's a great question. We actually haven't spoken to any of the tenants directly yet, and kind of on purpose. First of all, we haven't acquired the properties yet. Mm-hmm. We're still waiting to hear back from the court. So it's still in the acquisition process. But the good news about the way that we're structuring this home ownership project really is that we can be patient. We can take our time. Nothing needs to change immediately. Folks can just keep renting the way they've been renting for the past few years. They can keep renting for the next year easily. And so there's no immediate urgency. We're taking the next few months to understand the properties, understand what the condition is. And then we'll start working with Price Hill Will and with Wynn and with our other advocates to figure out how to do home ownership training, financial counseling, all of the other, structures that are going to be necessary to bolt on to our efforts here. But Rachel, I don't know if you want to add anything there.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that when the news first broke a couple of weeks ago that the port was going to be acquiring the Raineth properties, and you know, folks know that a number of them were in Price Hill, we immediately started getting a couple of calls over the next couple of days from tenants in those properties wanting to know, well, what can I do to become a homeowner? What can I do? And by the way, in the meantime, can somebody replace my furnace that's 25 years old? Mm. So I think, you know, the real opportunity here is, again, like local ownership, but local responsible ownership, because, you know, again, while some of these folks are living in properties or paying really high rent, they're also, for the most part, paying all their utilities, and they're working with very, you know, antiquated mechanical systems, no insulation, you know, no storm windows, those kinds of things. And so, again, if folks are able to afford making all those payments, they have capacity. And so that's why all these partners are around the table to help folks better use that capacity so that they can build their own equity for their family versus all that money going to some out-of-town investor who honestly doesn't really care about Cincinnati or our neighborhoods.
Yeah. So say a listener's hearing this and they're not in one of these Raineth portfolio homes, but they're really interested in, buying their first house, maybe their moderate income. What do you suggest? I know there are other programs that Price Hill Will does, that the port does. How does somebody make those first steps?
If you live in Price Hill, I'd say call Price Hill Will. I think that's the best way to start to start the conversation. And for people in other neighborhoods, I would probably suggest calling Working in Neighborhoods, which does a very significant amount of training. We're going to rely on the pipeline of home buyers to come from these partners that we work with.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I mean, Working in Neighborhoods and the Homeownership Center have, you know, certified housing counselors who can help folks with financial education, learning all the terminology, you know, what is a mortgage? What is escrow? What are all those strange things mean? And help folks figure out, you know, is homeownership really the right choice for your family? I do believe it's a great opportunity for families to build wealth, but not everybody should become a homeowner. It's a lot of responsibility as well. I can tell you, I have an old house and every weekend is devoted to maintaining that old house, right? So folks need to really go into it with their eyes open, which is why I think going through classes is really, really important.
Sure. I want to end this with a sort of a broader question about how this fits into the Port's mission, Price of Will's mission. I mean, and it seems like an obvious question. You know, homeownership is this longstanding part of the American dream. But can you talk a little bit about the importance of providing homeownership opportunities to people who maybe aren't, you know, super wealthy? And we'll start with Rachel.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Oh, okay. Well, I think if you looked, you know, building equity in a home, building sort of like your family's assets, that's the number one way that most families in this country build wealth. And they build that wealth and they pass it on to their kids and their grandkids. And they use that equity to send kids to college, to buy a car, all those kinds of things. And unfortunately, we know that a lot of people in this country, particularly people of color, have been left out of that opportunity. So when you look at the homeownership rate across the country, it's significantly higher for white people than for people of color. And so we want to try to amend that here in Cincinnati in a very proactive kind of way.
Sure. And Laura, what does this look like from the Port's end? You know, how does this fit into your mission?
Well, everything that Rachel just said is clearly part of our mission too, to reduce the racial wealth gap and to help increase homeownership and help homeowners build wealth. I will also say from that, the next step is the impact on the community. Having out-of-town investors brings down the value of the surrounding properties as well. So as we help those individual people, they're invested in the neighborhood more, then the entire community's property values increase.
Sure. Philip, anything you want to add?
Yeah, I was just saying, building on that, that this is a big turn for the Port. You know, previously we've spent so much time, so many years of experience and expertise focused on unproductive real estate. And the reality is that for a lot of that time, unproductive meant vacant and blighted. And it still means that. But this is a new kind of unproductivity in real estate, kind of equity mining wealth out of our communities and neighborhoods. And so this is a huge, very mission-centered approach to recenter what equity and wealth can mean back on neighborhoods and residents and families.
Great. This is Cincinnati Edition Assistant Producer Nick Swartzel. I've been talking with President and CEO of the Port, Laura Brunner, the Port Executive Vice President, Philip Denning, and Price Hill Will Executive Director, Rachel Hastings. Laura, Philip, Rachel, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about this new initiative. It sounds like it's going to help a lot of people.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Producer is Selena Reeder. Assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Technical director, Josh Elstro. And your new host will be Lucy May, starting on Monday. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.